And the question basically boils down to is, has to do with law and grace, right? Now, of course, you know, everybody in this room is full of wisdom. They already know the answer, right?
No.
I'm not being tongue-in-cheek. I mean, saying, you should know by now what it means. You know what applies. Now, but when you're out there and someone says, how do you explain to others about being under grace and still obey the law? Because they quote Romans 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you were not under the law, but under grace. How would you answer that? Well, the question isn't so much the law. The question is, what is grace? Do you know what grace is? Biblical phrasing of grace in relationship about God, because that's basically what we're talking about here. I can give grace to anybody I want. I give grace to my children. My children can give grace to me. You know what that means? Sometimes we ask, have God, let me have, we double our words. Let me have grace and favor in the eyes of my employer. Well, you use babies. Let me have favor and favor in the eyes of my employer. Let me have grace and have grace in the eyes of my, just having favor. Now, what does favor mean? When you grant your children who have done something they should not have done, but you don't punish them, what did you give them?
Grace.
You gave them favor. You favored them. How did you favor them? By not letting them have to pay the penalty. That's the simplicity of that ancient word. What happens is that in modern Christianity, we have made it, although we made it as a substitution for. But see, that's not what the Word of God says, right? We know that. We'll go through some of these things. And when it comes to the divine influence upon the heart, that's what they basically think grace is. Well, that's not what grace... How did Noah... Oh, let's put it this way. Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh, right? Oh! Let's ask this then. For he was not under the law, but under grace. Yes? Yes, he was. How did he get under grace?
By following the law.
No.
I believe it.
No. No more.
Faith.
Excuse me?
Faith.
Yes?
I've always thought of that as kind of akin to chesed, which is the idea of loyal, loving kindness. And God continued to show chesed, meaning that he's loyal to his word and loyal to his promises, even if the people who are under his promises screw up.
Did you hear what he said? It's a fascinating way of looking at things. But what I'm trying to get across here, trying to explain real simple, the simplest words, when someone does not understand grace because they put it as though it's a substitution for something, it isn't. All it is God has granted you something that you deserve, and he said, no. He said no. Why did he say no for?
Because his son Yeshua...
Has not does it because they obeyed the law. If you always obey the law, never broken the law, never broke a single law, guess what? You don't have grace.
You don't need it.
You don't need grace at all if you've never broken the law.
Right.
Now wait a minute now.
No one has.
Now wait a minute now. There is a statement, and Todd, we'll get to there. There is a statement that says that Yeshua found grace in the eyes of God. What did he do? Break a law? See, don't take that word grace and assume it means what you think it means. It just means favor. Was Yahshua his favorite? Did he grant him an awful lot of favors? Did he give him an awful lot of wisdom? Did he grant him a tremendous amount of ability and understanding? And same thing, it happens that when God grants us grace, we go in grace and knowledge. We go in favor and knowledge, yes.
Maybe one way to look at that is it's favor mixed with mercy.
always with mercy.
Because you know, Yeshua did not need mercy.
Did not need mercy.
But he had favor.
And that's right, he had favor.
We need mercy and favor.
We need both, okay? Now, when the law comes in, and he says something very interesting, now I want to pay attention to what just this 14th verse of the 6th chapter. I want you to all turn to that for a moment. And just read it, April, in the book of Romans. The 6th chapter, verse 14. Everybody there?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the very first phrase? Oh, something has power over you. Something has jurisdiction over you.
Lord it over you.
I'm sorry, what?
Lord it over you.
Lording it over you. It rules you. It has dominion over you. What is it that has dominion over you?
Sin.
Okay. How did sin have dominion over you?
It's fun.
Did you let it?
We're born in it.
How? Oh, wait. Make it simple, please.
Adam.
Make it simple, please.
Sin had dominion over us because we were not obedient to God's law.
Okay.
Born into rebellion.
No, there's a lot of excuses we get to use. Is Adam there that we have excuse, you know? That's not what God says. But we like to say, oh, Adam sinned, therefore we are in sin, therefore it's all Adam's fault. Right? Real piece of cake to get away from it, right? But that's not what the Word of God says, does it? The soul of sin shall die, right? Now, there cannot be an understanding about grace without it being connected to the law. It cannot. There cannot be an understanding about grace without being connected to righteousness. There cannot be a connection or understanding of grace without being connected to sin. There cannot be an understanding unless it's, if it's not been without it being connected to redemption. You cannot have a connection of sin, a connection of grace, if it's not connected with faith. You cannot have any understanding of grace unless it's connected with remission. You cannot have any understanding of grace unless it's connected with propitiation. Oh. What does that word mean? Huh?
Substitution.
What?
Substitution.
Substitution! You cannot have grace unless something's substituted. Right? So why, when sin is a sin, is and the Torah is explains what sin is transgression of the law, right? So now there is something that has to be take your place. Who took your place?
Messiah.
The Messiah is the grace of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Messiah is the grace of God. Messiah is the favor of God. In fact, the Messiah is why we have favor. Why we have grace. We know that. We understand that. But in the Christian world, the thing about being under the law, what does it mean when it says under law? That you're not under the law.
Curse of the law?
Yeah, we're toast under the law.
If there is no transgression going on at all,
you're not under the law.
You're not having to obey the law, no. Right? You because, why? There is nothing there. Do you understand what I'm saying? If there is no sin, there is no law. You cannot have a law without sin. When you go to court, you break a law, what do? Do you go before a kangaroo? What would a kangaroo do? It'd either run away from you or attack you. has no idea what to do. What do you do if you want before a dog? And you expect grace from him? Of course not. What's the dog going to do? Either attack you or run away or wag his tail. But when we go before a human court, what do we face?
Judgment.
We face judgment, all right? And there has to be a substitution. If there's not a substitution, you pay. The reason why we have fines is because it's either jail or pay the fine. Simplicity of the matter. All right? So grace, remember, just nothing means more, nothing more than favor, having favor. Now let's go on for a little while here now. Romans, the third chapter, verse 20. I can break in the middle. It's, for by the law, the knowledge of sin. Right? We understand that one. Righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law. What does that mean? Verse 21. What does it mean that there is a righteousness of God without the Torah, if you want to use that word, without law, that is made clear and made plain, which is written within the law? Where is it written at? Do you know? Where?
In us.
In the law. Where is it written? Yes.
Last few chapters were Deuteronomy, where it says he's going to write, put his spirit within you.
Okay. There was one very incredible holy day. That is such a beautiful day. And see why there was a substitution. Do you understand what grace is? Something got replaced. And when people think they have to be under the law, true, you are under the law if there had been no substitution for you. Isn't that right? And when there had been a substitution for you, what does God call that? My favor. See, Noah came out of sin and transgression. He turned to righteousness, but not until you could be righteous, but only way that the price could be paid for any sin or transgression that took place before the flood, there has to be a substitution. If not, they're all dead. So when we think about Noah, we think about righteousness, and we think about here the righteousness of God, which is different than the righteousness of the law. The law is just and holy and good. All right? Now, God did something, and it says here in verse 25 how the righteousness of God is revealed by propitiation. By the substitution. That's grace. And so, are we under grace? I hope so. Mm-hmm. Are we under the law? I hope not.
No.
Now, when it comes to saying, oh, but we have to obey. Well, obey according to what? You mentioned it. Faith. You could only obey by faith. Mm-hmm. You can't do it by actions. You have to do it by faith. Because you and I do not have that ability that's inside of us to do anything that is holy, upright, just, and righteous. We don't have that. We weren't created it in the very beginning. It wasn't created in Adam. And when he pulled Eve out of Adam, it wasn't pulled away from Adam and put into Eve, because Adam didn't have it and Eve didn't have it. It wasn't given. All right, righteousness comes from the Creator and only the Creator. You understand a little bit about grace? Just a little bit more? Yes.
So it seems like what you're saying is that to obey what God says and what He's commanded and such through faith is you're saying that I'm not under the penalty of it, but this is what God wants, and I'm following after what He wants because He was nice enough to...
The Apostle Paul says the law is spiritual.
Right.
You cannot obey the Torah without the Spirit of the Creator of heaven and earth in you. And you can curse people up one side and down, including, I'm sorry, our President of the United States. You can curse up one side and down the other, no matter what. He cannot do it. Why? It takes the Spirit of the Creator of heaven and earth. Not my spirit, not your spirit, not a group of spirit, not a bunch of Democrats, Republicans, liberals, independents. That's not works. And you know, the Creator of heaven says, you must pray for your enemy. Bless those that curse you. Out of our mouth, we must not curse. We must bless. So if you find somebody you cannot stand, cannot stomach, and God, Jesus didn't say, by the way, when you have friends, you do as the heathens do. What do the heathens do? They always, support their friends, but ignore the enemy. He said, I want you to bless the enemy. He didn't say, by the way, you have an option here. You can either bless or say nothing. You could either pray for them, or you don't have to pray for them all. He didn't give that option, did he? So when you pray for somebody, even the person you can't stand the sight of, guts of, or thoughts of, or brain of, that doesn't give you an excuse. Grant them your grace. Grant them your favor. Grant them something that they don't have, and you can give it to them. Why? Because it was given to you. I'm sorry, I'm very loud on this. But I really have a point right now, and I think it's been moving me hard. There comes a point. You cannot curse. If you do, grace will be removed. God can take His grace away. You understand what I'm saying? I'm pretty strong on this point. I'm sorry. But just grace is not the heavenly favor. Done something, someone done something for you because they wanted to do so. In the case with Jesus Christ, or in the case with the Messiah, because He loved us so much that He gave the substitution to us that we may have favor in our Father's eyes. Do you want that? And the next thing you're going to do is say, what do you want me to do, Father? He says, obey my Son. Now, what do you think the Son says to do? If you love me, what are you going to do?
Keep
my commandments. Act on them. How can you do that? Just a minute. How can you do that? You have to have the Spirit of the living God in you to do it. And you have to believe it?
Freely you've received mercy, so freely give mercy.
Freely give, right. Good point. All right, you understand what I'm saying so far?
Yes.
It's a very powerful subject matter, and I guarantee give a sermon on it for hours, but I don't want to do that. But, the whole concept, I think sometimes in the Christian world, they have substituted something, which they should not have substituted, right? There was no substitution that they think they have that they do not have to obey. Oh, no. You do as the Messiah did. Yes.
Well, that's your analogy in the court. You get a speeding ticket or you ran a red light. You go to the court. They give you the choice between jail time or fine. You pay the fine.
Right.
But it doesn't mean you can walk away and go run the next stop sign that comes along. The cop will catch you again. And
you may stay in jail. Right. Giving you a favor once doesn't mean it's always lasting. It's not like once saved, always saved. Once you have grace, you always have grace. That's not necessarily true because you can violate the grace. And you people who have children, and you're given grace to your children when they have transgressed, and they're thankful for it, grateful, they didn't have to pay the penalty. But when they did it again, uh-oh, The grace is removed. You remove the grace. Yes.
Because God wants us to overcome. And that means growing in grace and continuing on, moving upward.
Yes.